What is that?
Jiu-jitsu. Jiu-jitsu is no joke. It takes years to master.
Martial arts are a vehicle for developing your human potential.
Training in BJJ offers a powerful lens through which to examine some primary human concerns: truth versus delusion, self-knowledge, ethics, and overcoming fear.
There's more philosophy in our mats than actually philosophy in any Ivy League.
Welcome to Philosophy.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Philosophy.
We are in the house. Actually, we're not in the house.
We're far from the house. Where are we?
We are in Manchester. We just came for a jiu-jitsu tournament, the Grappling Industries tournament.
Yep, that's correct. Grappling Industries, Manchester. Iki and I just competed yesterday. We're coming to you live from our Airbnb the next day, feeling very sore. How was it, Iki?
It was preposterous. we had both a hard time, but after all, it was a great experience. Got to learn a lot about our jiu-jitsu, kind of gauge how we're doing under pressure.
Yeah, no, it was really good. I mean, I think the thing about jiu-jitsu tournaments is no matter how they go, you always end up leaving with some amazing knowledge that you can bring back to the gym. And I know every time I compete, my jiu-jitsu gets so much better, because whatever I did wrong in the tournament, I go back and I make sure that it doesn't happen again, or at least I have an answer for it. So I think that's really cool.
Yeah, so we decided that this podcast, we're going to talk about that, sort of like, what are the things that we learned that we can bring back to train again in the gym and to improve on, but also do some reflections to maybe first-time competitors on how to think about approaching their first competition.
Yeah, exactly. Should we hop into what we think would be good advice, or should we talk about more our experience yesterday?
Let's briefly go through our experience, what you learned, what you think you can improve, and then we go to the end. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, so I mean, for me, yesterday, I had four fights in the initial brackets on my group. I ended up winning two of the fights and losing two of the fights. A big learning for me was I won my first fight, which has like notoriously been very difficult for me. I'm always the most nervous during my first fight. So winning this first fight yesterday was like a major breakthrough for me. And I'm constantly battling to get myself in the right mindset before that first fight. You know, it's like, I think what that comes down to is experience. As the more and more I do tournaments, the more and more comfortable I get with that first fight. I remember my first tournament ever, about 30 seconds into the fight, I can't breathe because I'm so nervous. Mm. Now, of course, you're going to be nervous. It's natural. You've got those pre-fight jitters. But when I'm in there, I'm able to breathe, and I'm not like a dead cow by the end of the 6 minutes. So, I mean, that's an interesting reflection for me. As far as what I learned, there's always things that I can do better. Being more active with my guard, not letting them get into certain positions, yada yada. That's something that I'm going to have to like look back at the tape and really reflect on. Again, I think that's something to point out. I think everybody, when you do your competitions, try to film them so you can go back, look at them, reflect on what went wrong. It's really hard in the moment. Your mind kind of goes, I don't want to say blank, but you're so in the moment, you're not thinking about other things.
So. Yeah, and things go pretty fast. Like, I think one of the things that's incredible, it's like I was watching your fight and how it looks so much like the basic things you do in training, and you just went there like you're a De La Riva. You just pulled that like it was brushing your teeth, like second nature, right?
Yeah, that's a good point. And, you know, Iki and I were talking about this. When you're fighting, especially in a competition, I think the things that you're going to do, always you're going to do, are the things that you've done thousands of times before in the gym. it's going to be very hard to be like, oh, I saw this one move on YouTube. I'm going to try and pull this off. I don't think it's possible.
Yeah, unless like you're a genius. I think what do you think you've done well? Because you said, for example, maybe you improved on how you feel in the beginning. But what was one thing that surprised you other than that? That you're like, I'm quite confident about this. Maybe I'm going to do it again.
Yeah, I think I've got two things that surprised me. One in like a good way and then one in a bad way. So I'll start with the good thing. The good thing was like in my early tournaments, I would always pull De La Riva and immediately a guy would start knee slicing and he'd pass and I just didn't have an answer for it. And through training, that was a big lesson for me. Like I said, I would get smashed in these tournaments with my De La Riva and I'd go back to the gym and be like, okay, I don't want this to happen again. It's terrible. So now they're unable to knee slice my De La Riva. I have answers for it and I'm starting to be more aggressive with my De La Riva. I feel confident in that situation. So that was a good surprise for me. The bad surprise was, luckily, somehow the way the bracket was set up, my 2-2 record got me into the semifinals of this tournament. And the guys that I faced in the semifinals and the bronze match were at such a higher level than me. It just gave me motivation, this is where I need to be. They felt a lot stronger, they felt more technical, and I just felt very out of my element. So I think that's actually a good thing. It gives me something to strive for. This is where I need to be in those top three spots in that tournament. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And it's crazy because they're not going to be waiting for you to be on the top three spots. It's almost like you kind of have to aim slightly higher. Yeah, because they also are training.
Yeah, it's very true. Well, hopefully they get to their next belt. But I feel you.
It's like the pushing in the gym. It's almost like you're not fighting against the guys you fought in the tournament. You're fighting against the guys they're going to be. So that when you get to the tournament, it's kind of like you meet them where they are or beyond. I don't know.
Yeah, it's cool. I mean, it's motivational. Mm-hmm. I want to be those top guys that, you know, the other guys in the bracket are like, oh man, that guy was just another level than me. I need to get to his level. So
yeah, and at the same time, it's kind of like also you're becoming like, it's almost like you're fighting the guy that you are today, because like you have to overcome like those same things of like, yeah. Oh man, like he remember when that guy tricked you with the Kimura grip?
Mm-hmm.
It's like at some point, before he could even get the finish, you're like, oh my god, I got tricked.
Yeah. I mean, with the guys that I fought in the semi and the bronze, there were just certain moments where I just knew this is trouble. It wasn't about it was cool, it was really inspirational, because at a certain point there was zero aggression involved. It wasn't like I'm gonna power out of this. It was, this guy's technique was on another level than mine and I could feel it. And so it was cool because I want to be at that level. But all in all, good experience. I really enjoy myself. I'm hurting today. Six fights later, six-minute fights will do anybody, make anybody sore. But yeah, how about you, Iki? How was it?
Yeah, man. I think first thing that I learned is part mental and part physical. I feel like I missed a lot of training this year compared to last year. Good reasons, yet I didn't train. You know, it's like,
It
is what it is. And to an extent, I don't feel like my losses were unfair or anything like that. I think they represented that. I felt at times that, okay, this is for those days that I didn't go to the morning class or I didn't do classes in two classes in a day. And also a few things. So first, mentally, I didn't warm up as well for my first two fights.
Mm-hmm.
So I was cold. And then I get there, I'm chilled, I'm calm, Then I shake the ref's hand, and I feel this rush of adrenaline going from my belly to my head and not to my legs.
Yeah.
And then I feel, oh, I'm kind of stuck here. And the fight starts. I did manage to sip him first, but I didn't have that aggression that I needed to pass the guard straight away and keep dominating, or even to go to guard, but hold him with confidence.
Which I think comes from the confidence of having trained.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like you'd feel more comfortable just being aggressive if you'd been training.
And in a way, when I was thinking about it, it's like, yeah, I lost the first fight, and I usually talk to my opponent afterwards. I was like, what do you think? He was like, man, I'm not going to lie. It happened really fast. It was quite a blur. But for a moment, you had a good footlock. I didn't understand why you tried to switch to something else. And that was me doubting myself because of that, because of not feeling so confident of, yeah, I do have a footlock, but I haven't been doing footlocks every day like crazy. So that made sense. My second fight, I lost on points. And it was interesting because John was, I think you were there for that fight, and you were kind of giving me notes, and I had the advantage, and then I lost the advantage because of not holding position, not knowing when to attack, but fair again, I lost. And then my third fight, that one, I felt like I had my mojo, I was in the zone, and it's interesting because I lost my first two fights, and I was just like in a corner looking down, my shoulders like down, and like, you know, like kind of feeling sad for myself, sorry for myself. And then John just comes and he's like, you can do way better, man. But first, just say how you said it.
Yeah, I told him to get that negative shit out of your head. Yeah. I could just feel it. I could just feel like the negative thoughts taking over. You know, like it's very easy after a loss to like have this conversation with yourself. About how you're not able to do it, and you just got to throw that shit to the side and keep it moving. Just imagine that the last fight didn't even happen. Replay it. This is your first fight again, so.
Yeah, and it's interesting because of like me being in my head before even coming to the tournament of, oh, I've missed training, maybe I shouldn't do it, maybe blah, blah, blah. It's like the moment you said it, it's like, yeah, man, whatever happened, happened. This is the next fight. That guy, I felt like, was the most dangerous from the division. Most experienced, strongest of them all, and had fairly, very good jiu-jitsu. But on that fight, I was also more confident, more present, and I just went in for what I knew. I swept him, passed his guard, tried to mount, couldn't mount, went for the back, and it was just like so much calmer that I made sure that whatever I'm doing, I know what I'm doing.
Yeah, I mean, just what you're saying there, I think that was a big learning for you this tournament, was that certain positions, you can recognize that you're in control, and you can take your time there because you're in control. They're the one who's in trouble. Like, you took your opponent's back in that match, and I kept shouting to you, like, it's on your terms, like, you've got his back, try to finish from there, but it's up to you. Like, if you want to switch to a different position, it's up to you. This you're the one in control here.
Yeah, and the guy was so strong. Oh my god, like it made me realize how much I've been missing my weight lifting sessions and just calisthenics, because there was a point I was trying to choke him, and he was holding on to my head, to my hand. He almost broke my wrist from how hard he was holding my hand. And then, yeah, but I kept position. I didn't rush anything. This is this thing that Lawrence, is a brown belt from our gym, he always mentions, is if you're attacking, the other guy will feel like he also has to attack. He has to fight back. But if you don't attack, you also have to hold back, because he doesn't want to open holes that you can attack or that he doesn't want to make himself vulnerable for attacks. And if you have the advantage, you actually don't have to attack, and you have to wait for him to make the first move so that he opened the holes. So it was great because, yeah, I could just hold my position. And then he almost had me on a footlock. And I look at the clock and it's 2 minutes. And Johnny's just like, just hold on, hold. Just, you know, it's just like, it's just one and a half now. And yeah. Like, and I'm looking at my foot. I'm like, okay, I just gotta hold on to him. So I grabbed him so that he can't lean back. And at that moment, it was very easy to go to my head and be like, ah, I'm just gonna give up. Mm-hmm. Because it was so hard. The guy was strong. In my mind, he was stronger than me, but I don't know what he was thinking.
Yeah.
And after the fight, I talked to him and he was like, man, you're so strong. That's the first thing you said. He said, you're so strong. When you're holding to my lapel and I couldn't finish the footlock, I was gonna give up. And I was also gonna give up. So that was the lesson in forget the shit in your head. Just, you're not fighting the other guy. It's your jiu-jitsu against his jiu-jitsu. So that was a good lesson for me.
It's true. And it's crazy that, like, everyone, when they're fighting, to some degree, they're having this, like, inner dialogue about the other person and what they're potentially thinking. Like, or it's very easy to doubt yourself in the fight, to be thinking, oh, this guy's got all the energy in the world. He's just going to keep coming at me. He's so strong. There were multiple times in my matches where it came down to who wanted it more. I think in certain situations, I had a lot of 50-50 moments where this guy could have passed or I could have regained my guard. It's like, who wants it more? And I'm sure that guy is thinking the same thing. I remember my first match, I remember multiple moments where I could sense that the guy was like, oh, man. I just gave a lot of my effort and it didn't do anything. And I could feel him like start to defeat himself almost a little in his head. I could feel where he was like, oh man, I just gave so much and it didn't do anything. So what am I going to do now? Which is a cool feeling because I was feeling the same thing. I was like, oh man, this guy is strong. He's coming at me. So sometimes it does come down to who has more heart.
And one thing I appreciate about the guy that fought with you, because I watched it was in your fight and in a fight later on in the elimination phase. In your fight, you almost swept him, and I could see in his face that he was surprised because he didn't see that sweep coming.
Yeah.
So then he made way more effort.
Yeah.
To
I angered the beast, I think.
Yeah, to pass your guard.
Yeah.
And that surprised you to an extent.
It really did, because the guy you're referring to is the guy who ended up winning the whole...
His name was Milad, right?
Milad. Shout out to Milad. Cool guy, actually. Milad, he trains out of SPG.
Yeah.
And he ended up winning the whole tournament. And we fought my second fight of the day. And yeah, I almost swept him in the early moments of the match. And I was surprised because you could just feel his level, his strength, and I see him almost tipping, and I kick myself because I think that would have been a big turning point. I don't think Milad was put on his back once, or that I saw at least. I don't think he was truly tested on his back, so maybe that's his weak point. You never know.
And he had another fight where, because he's a guard passer, so his thing was take down, pass guard. And you fought with another guy that also had that strategy. So they were both fighting, and the fight was taking so long while they were both on their feet. And because Milad was the guy that was so perseverant, at first I thought he was going to get tired.
Yeah.
And at some point you'd have to pull guard. But he was so perseverant that the other guy, even though maybe he was less tired because he was defending, Milad got to his head, so he had to pull guard almost.
Yeah.
And he managed to pull guard, but Milad's a guard passer. Yeah. So in the end, it kind of...
Bruku too.
Yeah, it kind of worked out for him. So yeah, those are, I guess those are our lessons. Let's talk a little bit about
Advice?
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Iki and I were talking about what we would have wanted to know if this was our first tournament. Like, if we could go back in time and talk to our self and say, here's what you should do to make your tournament experience a little better, what would you do? So we came up with a little list. You want to share the list?
Yeah. Let's say number one is get ready.
Mm-hmm. That's for sure. You know, it's like remember, as we were saying earlier, what you do in the tournament is most likely going to be the things that you've done 1,000 times in the gym, and there's nothing you can do about it. It's what you've put into your mind as muscle memory. It's what you can do without thinking. So that means two things. It's like train a lot, put in your mat time, but also be physically ready. Realize a couple weeks before, okay, I'm competing. So let's start to like ramp it up a little bit. Let's train a little harder. Let's go with those guys who are really going to push you to your limits. Let's do a few extra rounds of drilling. Let's get ready. So,
and also like, let me find out everything I can about this particular tournament. What are the rules for my division, for my belt?
Mm-hmm.
What time should I be there? Just basic stuff.
Yeah, it's obvious, but at the same time, there's a lot of people who get there and they're like, oh man, I don't even know what time I'm fighting.
There was one guy in my division that he couldn't cut weight.
Mm.
And I'm pretty sure he was very excited about fighting. And
That goes without saying. But I mean, you know, my personal opinion, if it's your first tournament, I don't think you should be cutting weight. I think just get there and go at your natural way. You don't want to add that extra stress. I'm going into having done like decent amount of tournaments now, and just now I'm like considering, okay, maybe I'm gonna start cutting weight for my division.
I mean, cutting weight. I guess like he didn't make weight, so maybe I don't know if
maybe he went over.
Yeah, maybe when he was signing up, he made the mistake of signing up for the wrong division.
Right? Gotcha.
Yeah. The second thing would be have a game plan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's huge. And I think when Iki says game plan, you don't want to go in there completely blank. You don't want to just say, I'm going to go in there. I'm not sure if I'm going to take the guy down. I'm not sure if I'm going to pull guard. Go in there and say, okay, what my goal is. I always have a goal, let's put it that way, when I start my fights. I don't want to give away my plan to the listeners. You know, one of my competitors could be listening to this podcast, but I always have a goal. I know what I'm aiming for, and if, you know, if things go differently, then I'll adjust and I'll try to make it happen. But I stick to a goal and I try to execute that goal.
One thing I find interesting is, especially when watching other jiu-jitsu competitors, especially like the pros, you can see like there are guys that have a great mastery of multiple types of games, whether it's guard pulling or passing. But, I mean, I'll talk about one of my favorite fighters, Bernardo Faria, for example. His game plan is, I'm going to go pull half guard and then sweep him and then pass their guard and then submit. So the thing that he does is that he just makes sure that his half guard always works and he commits to that, right? He has multiple ways of getting there, and once he gets there, it's just a matter of time, right? Mm-hmm. So that's his game plan. For example, I think Gordon Ryan's game plan. What would it be if you had to explain? Or Keenan's?
I mean, both two different styles of fighter. But I mean, Gordon's probably gonna at some point try to get what they refer to as inside position with the legs and end up in some type of leg entanglement. I know that he works on a back attack system. But regardless.
Yeah, doesn't need to get that technical.
Yeah, yeah.
That was just the idea, right?
None of us are Gordon Ryans here, I don't think.
Yeah. So let's say the third insight, I guess, would be know when to attack and when to defend.
Yeah, that's huge. It's like, I don't think anybody can go full out for 6 minutes. It's going to be impossible to just power and be crazy for 6 minutes. If you don't get the submission early, that is. But for me, you know, it's like I feel very comfortable in my close guard. That's my time to take a breath kind of like recoup, regain my focus, and start to think about what I want to do next. And there were multiple times in my matches where I was able to get the guy into close guard, and I tried to break the posture. And once I broke the posture down, as I'm holding him down, I'm kind of like, kind of breathing, saying, okay, I'm going to take two good breaths here. I'm going to get a little energy, and then I'm going to go again. And knowing when that's okay. You know, it's like in a scramble, you don't want to say, okay, I'm going to take two breaths here. Because that's the time you need to give it your all. But there, I think with experience, you'll see, okay, here's a time where I can chill. Not chill, but you know what I mean. Get compose yourself again. So yeah.
And also, I guess that comes with just looking at the clock, looking at the score. Because
awareness.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's huge. And that's why having somebody in your corner who can remind you of these things as well is also really helpful, really important. Because at the end of the day, there is a rule system. Obviously, the goal would be to just submit your guy.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can't, there is a set of rules and you need to play by those rules. And there's strategy involved. And yeah, just being aware.
True. So another one, I just added this one right now.
Okay.
It came to mind when you were talking, which is...
I'm not prepared for this.
I'll start and then you'll go to it. Okay. Get that negative shit out of your head.
True.
It's like, I remember, so one thing we did this time around is we didn't tell many people at the gym that we're competing or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And that's cool because, I mean, whether we lose or we win, it doesn't matter in the first place to most people. It just matters to us. But at the same time, we don't have any extra pressure about telling Jimmy from the gym how it went, right? And
yeah.
I remember we watched this documentary, Free Solo, and it's about that climbs mountains without any ropes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a sport where one simple mistake, it's a matter of life and death. And one of the things he says is he doesn't tell people that, oh, I'm going to climb a mountain today. He just leaves. And the people in his life are okay with the fact that he can have a disaster happen at any point. But the thing is that he says that that also takes away pressure to perform when he's practicing or when he's actually performing. He's just there climbing a mountain. Nobody's going to know what happens, so he can focus on the mountain. That was one way in which the negativity was out. And the other one is just like on the fight, you're on the fight. You're focusing on what you can do.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And I think a lot of times what discourages people from competing is they're worried about what other people are going to think about their performance. A lot of people want to compete because they want to prove to other people how good their jiu-jitsu is. At the end of the day, competition should be about yourself. It should be about making yourself proud, maybe even proving something to yourself, and also learning and improving your jiu-jitsu. It's teaching you how to use your jiu-jitsu in a high-pressure situation. I struggle with this a lot, and I'm starting to get better at it, is that I'm trying to force myself to... My outcomes should only affect me in the sense that I shouldn't be worried about, because I failed at this tournament and I got, you know, tapped out in the first round, thinking, oh, everyone's going to think I'm terrible at jiu-jitsu, whatever, all these negative things that can come to your head. You should be competing for yourself and you shouldn't worry about what other people think about your results. At the end of the day, people are going to realize that you lost on that day, and I guarantee you 2 days later, no one's thinking about your competition or performance. Nobody cares. At the end of the day, it sounds harsh, but nobody cares if you win or lose. You know, in my case, we're talking about blue belt, 170-pound grappling industries, Manchester. No one will ever remember who won that tournament.
There's a story about Alexander the Great. I'm going so exaggerating with this. About Alexander the Great, that when he died, he's like, bury me with my hands, carry me on my coffin, like with my hands out and open, like carry the coffin open and show my hands empty. Because even though I conquered the world, I'm going to die with empty hands.
Damn.
Yeah, and I think that's too far for.
I mean, a little stretch there, a little stretch, but yeah, I feel what you're saying.
Like, let's just happen like I didn't say that and go to the fifth and last one, which is enjoy the moment. This is for you.
Yeah, totally. Have fun. Like, competition should be fun at the end of the day. Meet some people, maybe eat some acai, maybe take cool pictures, maybe get some cool submission highlights if you're lucky. But at the end of the day, have fun. Jiu-jitsu is about having fun, improving yourself, making your life better.
Yeah, it's like all those feelings of, I'm about to fight, coldness in your stomach, butterflies in your stomach. It's like
enjoy that too.
Yeah
enjoy it. Like, look at it as a process. Recognize that your mind is going to create these feelings for you. It's natural. It's going to happen. Yeah. So just try to take a step back and say, cool, we're here again. Let's do it.
All parts of you, all parts of life. And yeah, it is what it is.
It is what it is.
So yeah, guys, I think this is the episode.
Grappling Industries Manchester. You've been fun.
Yes. Thank you so much to Grappling Industries. And also thank you so much for you guys for listening to this. We made this with a lot of care, and we hope you like it.
Yep. And also thanks to all of our sponsors. We don't have any sponsors, but if we did, I would thank them all. And if you want to sponsor the podcast, shout us out.
Much love, guys.
Peace out, guys.